Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
He's LeVar Arrington. Hey. I'm Jonas Knox. It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are, making us a part of your Friday. Welcome to the start of your weekend. We don't wait for Saturday, LeVar. We get things started here on a Friday.
Why not?
Yeah, of course. And the shenanigans will ensue as we take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR.
Guaranteed.
With the man himself, Sticks, LeVar Arrington.
Yeah, man. How you feeling?
I was listening to reggae before we got on the air, and LeVar was like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of reggae. I'm like, well, not everybody's perfect, you know what I mean?
I couldn't believe you knew as many artists as you did, man. Shouts out to Jonas. Sheesh. I was like, man, are you going to start scatting up in here?
We could do a game on the show here called Is It a Reggae Artist or Not?
And
I would go
lose.
0 for 10. Yeah. I'd go 0 for 10. I have no idea. It's not my thing. But when it comes to the world of sports, I do think there's an element of being able to sit back and watch. When you're a player, do you know when you're in the midst of, because you had some drama there in Washington. I'm just saying. But I'm just wondering, when you're on the inside, are you aware of how entertaining it is to watch a dysfunctional organization on the outside for some people?
In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. Like, there came a point in time, if you're in dysfunction long enough, this sounds horrible, but you kind of acclimate to it. You know, because that's got to be your survival technique. But it's like, I told you the story about John Madden, right? Did I ever tell you that story?
Oh, it was like a pre-show meeting?
It was a preseason meeting, and they're doing a production meeting because we had the first game. This is how far back this goes. Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson were performing at the game.
The pregame.
It was a kickoff game. We played the New York Jets.
Whatever happened to them? Are they still together or no?
No, that's long gone. She's got a ton more kids. I think he does too.
Yeah.
I think Nick Lachey won though. He married the lady from, look, I said the lady. I'm being respectful
I know,
this
look
morning.
Look at you, man.
From MTV.
Yeah, I forget the name, but
she was a looker though. She was easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't distract me from the embarrassment that I'm about to, the self-deprecation and team deprecation that's about to take place right now. So, sorry. It's okay, Jonas. So we go in pre-production meetings. You know, they pull the stars into the production meetings, and John Madden is calling the game. Shouts out to John Madden. And John Madden starts asking questions. They're asking questions. And John asks me, he goes, what do you think the expectation of this team is this year? And I was like, oh, it's Super Bowl or bust. And John looks at me with this, like, befuddled look. And I'm thinking, you know, he's going to say, well, explain it. Explain how you believe that this team is going to do that. Instead, he says to me, if you guys make it to the Super Bowl, I will bungee jump out of the Goodyear blimp at the 50-yard line before the game starts. That's how bad it was in Washington at one point. And let me tell you something. I'll never forget that moment, Jonas. I was offended first. Like, the first moment it hit me, like when the sound from his mouth hit my ear, comprehended by my brain, I was offended for 2 seconds.
Well, yeah. I mean, because you go into it thinking, oh, we got a shot. We got a shot. And it's the people on the outside. It's like being in a bad relationship when everybody that can on the outside can see, hey, man, it's not the one. It's not the one. And you keep trying to talk yourself into, like, yeah, I think that's natural. I think that happens in a lot of places.
Bro, that was one of the quickest turnarounds of a seed of growth. He planted the seed of doubt. That seed of doubt grew so quick in that moment. Like the next 3 seconds and on, it was like, dang, do we suck? We suck.
Got you thinking about things.
John Madden
bit.
Just said he'd bungee cord. And if you know the story, for all you out there, so let me give you a little bit more context. John Madden is afraid of heights. He doesn't fly.
Yeah.
Everything he does, they drive
the
him.
Madden
he had
Cruiser.
The Madden bus, right?
Which, let me tell you something.
Oh, it was pimped out.
There are buses.
And then there's Madden's
bus. And then there's
the
Madden Cruiser. And that thing is a rock star style.
Because he doesn't leave the ground.
It's great.
So for John Madden to say, I would go into the Goodyear blimp, and not only go in the blimp, but would jump out of the blimp, you'd have to understand how debilitating that was to my psyche and my emotions. As the leader of this Washington football team, mind you. And we went out there and we beat the hell out of New York that game. We just didn't have a great season.
Yeah, and the reason I bring this up
I
is
know,
because
I know where you're going, but
so,
you know,
I mean, we've seen over the past couple of days, I think, potential train wrecks going on in the world of sports.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, we're going to have more on that later on because this thing is just not going to be smooth sailing
this
year. It's not going to be smooth
sailing.
Power
struggles aren't. Yeah. Coups aren't easy.
Yeah, it is. So this is going to be a wild one. And then the Los Angeles Lakers make a move in what I think is going to be absolute entertainment through and through.
Oh, easily.
Russell Westbrook is now a Los Angeles Laker. They get a deal done. So now you're going to have LeBron James. He gets his big three going. He's a big fan of these big three combinations. He's got Anthony Davis, and now they're going to add Russell Westbrook. And here's why I'm skeptical on this. And this isn't even just an X's and O's. Well, neither can shoot from the outside, which is a big problem, especially in today's NBA. You think for 1 second Russell Westbrook's going to take a back seat one time next season to LeBron James? He's not built that way, man. Like, certain guys are willing to be the co-pilot, and then there's Russell Westbrook. He's not built that way. So the idea that this is going to fix all the problems, I think this has got potential disaster written all over it.
Oh, of course it could have potential disaster written all over it, but I actually think it is an interestingly good move. I really do, because here's the thing. Russell Westbrook gets a bad rap a lot, but Russ goes hard
in the
paint.
Love him.
Like, he's a throwback player. He loves to play the game. He's a fierce competitor, fears no one. And the one thing that I was saying about this Los Angeles Lakers team that I'm sure a lot of people will agree, you know, we had this debate, and Rick Bucher was one of the guys that said they don't need a third guy. They don't need a third star or a third superstar to be able to win the championship next year. Yes, they do. They 100% need a third one, Jonas. And the reason why they need a third one is because the one thing that we knew about LeBron for the longest time is he was durable and he was going to always be there. That has not been the case since he's come to Los Angeles.
Two of the 3 years he's here, he's been injured.
He's had some injuries. Now, not crazy injuries, but nonetheless, he's aging, and some of those injuries are probably going to be more nagging than what they've been before. We know Street Clothes Davis is going to get injured. You know, at some point, he's going to have his street clothes
on. A bit
right?
Harsh for Friday, isn't it? Don't you think? I mean, come on now. So,
well, that's Chuck gave it to him.
Know,
and for our guy, Brady, who isn't on today, I figure I'd do a Chuck reference because him and, you know, Charles love each other. And you know what, Jonas? Bringing in a guy like Russell Westbrook, LeBron is probably, whether he'll admit it or not, LeBron is probably getting fatigued on having to be the bad guy in the locker room. And what does he go out and do? What does this Lakers team do? They go get a guy that's familiar with the area, went to school here, cut his teeth hair, and now you got a guy that's going to hold people to task in a way that LeBron now doesn't have to be that guy all the time. That's just the leadership aspect of it. But when you get onto the court, if Anthony Davis, for some reason, some strange reason, happens to go down and can't play, this team can still win with Russell Westbrook on this team and out there on that court.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know what next year is going to look like from a – because I think there's a lot of questions around the NBA just from health. Like the Clipper, we have no idea what the Clippers are going to look like with Kawhi's situation. Phoenix could be shook from what happened in the finals.
But they're looking at Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You bring in Russell Westbrook because you have to be able to – if you're going to have those three coming in their second season – the only chance you have is to be able to match what Brooklyn's going to bring to the table.
And I'm just looking at it from just Western Conference. And then when you branch out and you go to the East, that's where Brooklyn comes in. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see about Milwaukee and all that. But, like, first of all, it's going to be entertaining as hell.
Oh,
and here's
certainly
why it's going to be entertaining as hell. I love Russell Westbrook. Absolutely love him. And here's why.
Was that a qualifier before you get him?
No. Okay. Because he's right. Never, like, you can say whatever you want about the three-point shooting and all that. And that's fine. But you've never watched a Russell Westbrook game, the R's and W's. Yeah, that's
Come on, Russell Westbrook.
You've never watched him play and thought, God, you know, he's just cutting corners today. You know, not really giving it his all. You know, he's not really. That guy will give you 100% every single time he's out there.
Indeed.
And I just wonder, when he sees LeBron maybe not get back on defense like he's done a couple of times, when he sees Anthony Davis maybe come up and maybe not push through something that he hasn't been able.
But that's why you bring him.
And I wonder how that's going to play out, because he the thing about Westbrook too, when he's frustrated, you know it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's visibly frustrated and annoyed and irritated. And so from that standpoint, I think it's going to be wildly entertaining.
It's going to be entertaining.
I don't know to what degree it's going to work, but I cannot wait to watch it.
I think he's
fun.
A lightning rod for this team, and I think that it is a tremendous decision, because you got rid of guys like Pope. I'm okay with Caldwell. Like, I ain't have a problem with him. But he's not going to add to your team in a way where you're going to be able to win the championship next year outside of a role player.
Yeah.
You bring in Russell Westbrook. You get, you know, Kuzma. Like, we have had all kinds of different conversations about Kuzma, right? Like, is he a malcontent? Why hasn't he transitioned into being more of a player? You know, why hasn't he grown his profile any more than he has? What's his ceiling at this point? If you have those doubts, you know, you know
at this point, right?
I'm pretty certain you have an idea where he's going to be, at least for the Lakers.
Yes. Yeah.
So why not bring in a guy, and you give up a first round pick as well? Why not bring in a guy that you know is familiar with the elites in the game, because he's one of them, but also is going to be that guy, again, that can give you points. He can create space. He can take the pressure off of LeBron James quite a bit with the style of play that he has. They needed that. I was saying Bradley Beal. So it's interesting that they went and got one of the two. I was saying Bradley Beal or Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
The same type of player.
Yeah. Then both those guys I would have liked better just from a basketball standpoint. But the offers or, you know, what they were expecting or asking for could have been.
Tell me why.
Why
you'd rather Bradley Beal or Dame.
I think Beal's a better player at this point in his career. I think he's younger. And I think Dame Lillard's a better player at this point in his career. I don't know the asking price for both those guys. And it could be astronomical, and they could both still be moved, and Dame's been kind of back and forth. But nonetheless, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
True.
And who knows? Maybe we'll be allowed back at Laker game next year to be able to take it all in. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. All right, it is Outkick the Coverage here.
Doing the show from there, maybe.
I would love to.
It would be way too early for a game if we were doing the show, though.
That's right. Depending on which players are on that team, they could still be hanging
still
out.
There.
Yeah, still, there's a lot
after
to do.
After party.
Yeah, there's a lot to do afterwards.
Okay. All right.
Outkick the Coverage here, Fox
Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is FSR. Coming up next, though, a blockbuster move in the world of sports, and we will get all the details as to how it happened. It's yours right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Right now, though, he is kind enough to join us here. One of our favorites. He is live from D.C.
All right.
Where apparently there's a fire sale going on. It is none other than John Paul Morosi, Fox Sports Radio Major League Baseball insider, our MLB Network insider as well, too. JP, it's Jonas, it's LeVar, still basking in the glory of the Italian national team winning the Euro Cup, but we've got a trade deadline on our hands, my man.
Yes, we do. I could talk about Italy and the Euros, but we don't need to do that on trade deadline day, my friends. The people want to hear about Max Scherzer and Trey Turner being Dodgers. This is a great day. LeVar and Jonas, great to be with you as always.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got to know. All right. How the hell did this happen? Because I was reading reports, and this isn't to call out anybody who maybe got it wrong, because I think, you know, sometimes maybe you get bad info or it's bad sourcing or whatever, but the assumption was, oh man, the Padres have done it again. They've swooped in and gotten the big fish from the starting free agent pool and Max Scherzer. And then all of a sudden, we see stuff that it's not over yet. And then fast forward about a half hour to 45 minutes later, now the Dodgers have him, and not only him, but they get Trey Turner. How did this all transpire?
Well, a couple things. I think number one, it was close at one point with the Padres yesterday, but it was not done, and it never was done. This is not a deal where there was a deal that was agreed upon, and then all of a sudden the sides backed away from it. That was not what happened. It did get close with the Padres, but I also think once those reports started coming out that the Padres were stepping up their efforts, all of a sudden the Dodgers said, wait a minute, are we going to let Max Scherzer go to our division rival, or are we going to increase our prospect package and then make sure that to get Scherzer, we also get Turner, and that was the reason why the Dodgers were comfortable putting in Kiefer Ruiz and Josiah Gray, their number one and number two best prospects. And I think that all along, we've seen in this the last week or so, teams comfortable with this notion of packaging two players together that would make a team more comfortable giving up its top prospect or two. That you go with quality over quantity as a team that's selling your best players, so to speak. And that's exactly what the Nationals did. They wanted Ruiz as their future catcher. They wanted Gray as a future starting pitcher. And to do that, they had to put both Turner and Scherzer in the deal. They liked what the Dodgers offered at the end better than what San Diego did. And now Max Scherzer is going to be a Dodger and Trey Turner is going to be a Dodger. It's a big day in baseball, guys. This is a transformative trade. The Dodgers have taken on more payroll. They're going to pay, I believe, $9 or $10 million in luxury tax penalties as a result. But they're doing this because this is what they believe they need to do to repeat as World Series champions. And when a team goes for it and shows they're not satisfied with one championship, it's great for the game.
Our MLB insider, John Paul Morosi, joining us here on Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. Did the Nationals use the Padres as leverage to get those two prospects from the Dodgers?
Probably, on some level.
Good for them.
I think that's an entirely possible outcome, but that's, I suppose, this time of year, my friend.
Good for them.
All things happen in the course of doing business,
JP, right? Fantasy football's right around the corner. We do it to our friends all the time. That's how it works.
Exactly right. It's no different than when you're negotiating with LeVar over a player on the Fox Sports Radio Fantasy Football League. This is all part of it. And so, I'll say this, though, too. The Padres will pivot here. They will try to get Jose Berrios from the Minnesota Twins, who is an excellent pitcher, who is under control for next year, unlike Scherzer. So Scherzer, of course, as you know, is a rental. There's only one Max Scherzer, but it's also worth pointing out that Berrios is someone who, if they get him from Minnesota, will impact their rotation next year as well. So it's not necessarily a doom and gloom day for the Padres, even though they clearly wanted Scherzer. And now, not only do they not get Scherzer, but they have to deal with them in the division with their arch-rival Dodgers. So there's a lot of intrigue there, and again, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch how the rest of the season plays out, how the next 12 hours play out here in Major League Baseball.
JP, this clearly sets off the alert and the alarm to Nationals fans and even around the league that it's a rebuild that's taking place clearly in the nation's capital. What do you think the direction is? I mean, I was there, you know, for so many years covering the Nats, and it was such an amazing time with Zim and Strauss and Harper and all those guys. That it seems as though now, after the World Series and everything, that this is now the definitive moment that says a rebuild of what proportion is taking place. How big of a rebuild do you think it's going to be?
Well, you're exactly right, LeVar, with everything that you just said. And it is now really a watershed day here in D.C. You know, I flew here last night. We've got the Cubs and Nationals playing here, the two most prominent sellers in baseball. We're going to see if Bryant, of course, on the Cubs side has moved as well, and who of the remaining Nationals is traded today. I mean, this is going to be a really transformative day. It's already been a transformative 24 hours for the Nationals. And you're exactly right. And I would say this too, it makes it a lot easier. These trades are a lot easier to make. And even the trades of the Cubs trading Rizzo, and if they end up trading Bryant, when you've won and you've been able to celebrate that moment, and win the World Series championship as the Nationals did, as the Cubs did, it makes the heartache of a tough decision like this a little bit easier to take because you've done it and you've won it. And you've seen that with the Kansas City Royals. So when they won it in 2015, they had to go all in. They bumped up their payroll probably beyond where they were comfortable, but they did it because they knew that was their window. Mm-hmm. And the Nationals knew they had a window a couple of years ago to win, and they did. And so now when you've done that and you can say to your fans, listen, we went all in, we added a bunch of payroll, this was a transformative time in the history of the franchise, but now it's ending because Max is going to be a free agent. We haven't signed him to an extension, and we're not competitive this year. And so it's a tough day, LeVar, but it's also a day to mark the end of an era. And those days are emotional, but it makes it a lot easier when you can look up and see a banner that flies as a result of the contributions of the likes of Max Scherzer here in D.C. and Anthony Rizzo in Chicago.
John Palmarosi, Fox Sports Radio, MLB Insider, MLB Network Insider as well, joining us here on FSR. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington here with you on Outkick the Coverage. When it comes to the Cubs, obviously Rizzo went, Jock Peterson, and once the Jock Peterson deal was done, it was like, okay, the wheels are in motion. Then Rizzo goes. So who's next, and who are you hearing from this Cubs team, these World Series champs from just 5 years ago that are now going to be off this team and somewhere else trying to help a contender? Who are the next chips to fall there?
Well, I think the next two are Bryant and Kimbrel, and it would not surprise me if they go in the same deal. I don't think necessarily that the Dodgers are still in play for them, although I wouldn't totally rule it out, at least for Kimbrel, because I think he would be a tremendous addition for the Dodgers. He would replace Kenley Jansen as the Dodgers closer immediately and be their closer next year as well, which would resolve a lot of outstanding issues for them. The Giants, I think, are very much in play for Bryant. I think he's a really good fit there. I also think he's a very good fit for the New York Mets. So if I had to say, I believe by 4 p.m. Eastern time today, Chris Bryant is no longer a Cub. I think Kimbrel will no longer be a Cub. Javier Baez is a little harder to conceptualize for me just because there is such a variance in his performance where he'll go and be a streaky player for a while and really have a hard time making contact, and then he'll make brilliant plays and he'll hit the walk-off against Amir Garrett and be a real catalyst as he was this past week, which is probably the last great moment of this generation of Cubs, if you will, with Rizzo and Bryant still there on the team at that time. It's going to be a very tough day for the Cubs, I think, in the same way that yesterday was emotional for the Nationals. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that both Bryant and Kimbrel will be gone by the end of today. The name that I think is really interesting to watch, too, is Wilson Contreras, because he has control on his contract for not just this year but next year. And so there's not quite the same level of urgency to move him, although we've seen it many times, guys. You don't get nearly the same amount of prospects back when it's just one pennant race as opposed to two. So I do believe that the Cubs will try diligently to make a deal for Wilson Contreras today as well. And this is going to be a very, very busy day across the industry, and especially for Jed Hoyer and the Chicago Cubs.
I'm going to address the elephant in the room. We were one of the shows that were bold enough to go pretty deep and in-depth on the Trevor Bauer situation. How much does this trade scenario bring back hope? I heard you mention that they felt as though this is what the organization did, what they felt needed to be done to keep this team as a competitive team. But morale is such a big thing, and I live here in LA, and just the collective gasp when that news hit. How much of a morale boost do you feel this is for this organization? Do you feel a lot of this trade and taking on that luxury tax and the things that they did, maybe there's a little bit more to it than just the idea of, okay, this is best for business to win, but this was something that this organization maybe saw fit to, you know, in a way, you know, address the elephant in the room is a lot of people felt as though this season may be a wash in terms of being competitive because of that entire situation and how that played out.
That's an excellent point, LeVar, and I do believe that obviously on one level, bringing in Scherzer is a direct response to A, the on-the-field issue of not having a pitcher that you were counting on, and B, I think you're right. Max is someone who is universally beloved in the sport. Bauer was a controversial figure even long before the revelations came out about the investigation by the Pasadena Police Department. So Scherzer will immediately give credibility and positivity to that clubhouse, as will Trey Turner. Mm. And we have to acknowledge the possibility that Trevor Bauer has already thrown his last pitch for the Dodgers. I don't know that he's going to come back and pitch for the franchise. I really have no idea where this all goes. But the Dodgers, I believe, realize the possibility, at least, that Bauer has pitched his last game for the Dodgers, and they have to move forward with putting the best team on the field and the best representative of their community that they can. And I know this. I've known Max Scherzer for more than 10 years. There's not a stronger citizen in baseball. He's an incredibly thoughtful person who's going to bring a lot of integrity to that room. And I think that from that standpoint, on the field, it was obviously a win in terms of getting Scherzer. But off the field, it matters a lot as well. It's a great point by you, LeVar.
Thank you.
John Paul Morosi, Fox Sports Radio, MLB Insider, MLB Network, NHL Network. There's nothing this man can't do. He's one of our favorites. And this is a big day to follow John on Twitter, at John Morosi. JP, it's going to be a wild one. I know you're going to be on the phone constantly back and forth trying to get information. So we'll be watching and waiting for your updates throughout the day for Major League Baseball's trade deadline at 4 Eastern time later today.
Well, Jonas and LeVar, always enjoy our conversation.
Pleasure.
My friends, you guys are the greatest. Thanks for everything today, and have a great weekend as well.
And listen, and JP, when we're going to be talking also at some point, because we got to address the Michigan Wolverines at some point. We need to have a conversation.
I'm still checking that. I have to make sure I find a way to get to State College for that game, LeVar. I have to. I haven't forgotten about that. It's still circled on my calendar, my friend.
Well, we are all plotting and planning to try to get there for that one. For certain.
Yeah.
Jonas
nice.
Has been telling me every break that we have to do this, LeVar.
Yes, I want to go. I'm telling you. I got to go.
I think that we have just planned the Fox Sports Radio remote show for the weekend.
Yes.
We're all going to be there. That's the plan.
Only if our control room is there with us. That's the only way
Let's
I'm
do
going.
That. We're
going
to make that happen too.
Damn right.
Right.
And I don't want to play sides here, so I'll just show up in an Italia jersey, and you'll know which one we are there, John. Hey, that'll
be
us.
Go. There you go.
Yeah.
We'll be friends no matter what, guys. We're all one family.
I'm going to show up in my Penn State birthday suit, and everybody's going to love it.
How about that? JP, you're the best, man.
All right, JP.
Have a great weekend. Thanks
you too.
For everything.
There All right, buddy.
I love that guy. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington. It's Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, though, we have the arrival, all right? The next era of quarterback play for one franchise. And I got a bad feeling about this one. We'll get into all that next here. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's us. Goona cuss. Goona cuss. Goona cuss.
Yeah. Goona kunst.
I like the way you say it better than me. I like saying the first part.
You just like the goot.
And I like saying his name, because if you're listening to this on the podcast, you will not hear Rob Bass and Joy and Pain, the song that's playing. We do not own the rights to this song, so let me disclose that. But Jonas, I really enjoy saying his first part of his name to Rob Bass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the last part's a little, touch and go. All right, Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is FSR. So I want to make sure we got enough time for this, because I want to hear from a quarterback that I think we can all root for, but we also have Animal Thunderdome coming up here in about 5 minutes from now. So we'll get to that later on in the hour. You'll hear from a quarterback that I think we can all rally around when it comes to the NFL this upcoming season. So when it comes to the situation in Green Bay, something I do think is interesting and something that's kind of funny is the subject of Aaron Rodgers being a lame duck quarterback, going into this season, and they've moved the contract around. He's officially signed the deal. The GM, the name which you like so much, Brian Gutekunst. He did talk about the idea of Aaron Rodgers being a lame duck quarterback heading into this season. Here's what he had to say.
Aaron Rodgers said yesterday he didn't want to be a lame duck quarterback. How do you, or did you, assure Aaron that he won't be this season?
Yeah, that's a hard one for me, because I've never looked at it like that. Obviously, at the moment, he's got 3 years left on his contract, so we certainly don't look at it as a lame duck. We may alter that, but even at that stage, it's not going to be a one-year contract. So never looked at it like that. As you guys know, in this business, everything's year to year, but I've never looked at it as a lame duck situation with any player.
Yeah, oh, of course not. We just move up in the draft.
Yeah, like, that's
first
the point.
Round.
Like, what are you talking about, man?
But this is Aaron Rodgers masterfully showing the world I am not incorrect, and I am not being a person that is out of the realm of sensibility in my approach. He's showing you. It's like one thing, if I go out in the streets and it's like, Jonas Knox is a super, super, like, he's like a horrible dude. Like, I think he's the worst dude I've ever met in my life.
Get in line, man.
I kind of hate him. You know what I mean? It's up to me to prove it, because everybody might not sit there and agree with me thinking that you're like this dude that I just really just don't like. You know what I mean? No, seriously.
That's all right.
But honestly, like, it's like, well, what's Jonas like? Jonas is a dope dude. Well, I can take your word for it, but imagine if I could strategically put Jonas in front of you like the third person there?
Yeah.
I could put Jonas in front of you, and he shows to you that he's a dope dude. Like, that's what Aaron Rodgers is doing by putting out there and planting the seeds and throwing out there that he has already studied them well enough to know that when he detonated what he did, when he did his press conference, all of the follow-up questions that would come after that, this group of guys would not. You haven't even heard anything from Mark Murphy.
Oh, no.
Mark is too afraid to even get in front of a microphone.
No.
and your GM is butchering it up.
This so when you move, and you made the point, and that's where I was going with this as well too. You can say he's not a lame duck quarterback, but when you make the move to trade up in the draft to take his replacement, by default, he's a lame duck quarterback at some point or another. And I remember this is a funny story. So Mike North, a Chicago sports radio legend, one of my dear friends in the business, Fox Sports Radio alum, was telling me a story about how he was hosting a draft day party in Chicago with the Bears. And Alex Brown, the defensive end.
Guy.
Yeah, Alex Brown had a good career, played with the Bears, was a fan favorite, a great media guy there, still does work in Chicago. He was with Mike at this draft day party. While the Bears drafted Michael Haynes from Penn State. And Mike North tells the story.
Shouts out to Mike.
Yeah, he looks.
That's one of my guys. That's one of my teammates.
But he looks at Alex Brown and he says, "Hey, Alex.
Did you know that that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, doesn't he play your position?" And Alex Brown looked at North and was like, "The hell is this?" and that was the but that was the writing on the wall. So once you make a move like that, and it directly impacts
Indeed.
The exact position, all that you're but doing even, is speeding up the clock, and you turn them into a lame duck. That's all it is.
With that being said, there are multiple guys that can platoon at that position. Imagine being the punter,
yes,
or the kicker,
yeah.
Or the long snapper.
Where you're singular, and
it's
that's all it is.
It's a singular spot. When you brought in that quarterback and you took him, you traded up. See, it's egregious because there's no way you can't get around what you did. You were in a race to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. You have been in a race to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. When is the best time to do it? It has not presented itself. When it was close enough the year before last, it was close enough. It's like you didn't have a good enough year. It justifies us, even though people will sit there and say, "Oh, why? You, here's another draft coming. Are you going to get Aaron Rodgers more weapons so he can have a better outcome for the season?" You go and you get a quarterback and you move up to do it.
Yeah.
You have now put the hand, as you mentioned, you put the handwriting on the wall. You cannot backpedal after Aaron Rodgers gets MVP of the league, one game away again from the Super Bowl. You cannot backpedal from the fact that Aaron Rodgers has now outed you. You can't do it. So now you got to meet it. The best thing that they could do is meet this head on, but they're playing themselves out because they're trying to actually not meet it head on and be passively aggressive or strategic in how they position themselves, and it isn't working out.
Outkick the coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington here. Right now, though, it's time for this.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad I was there.
Boys and girls.
I thought he thought I was like this ginormous piece of chicken.
Dying time's here.
I had a boa constrictor stuck to my face.
Man, you have a what?
This is Animal Thunderdome.
And for that, we turn it over to Danny G, our executive producer, to find out. I'm always
afraid.
Terrified. It feels like I'm in a haunted house.
Yes.
Danny, what do we got this week?
Yeah, you should be scared for this first story. In fact, a disclaimer here, if you have a weak stomach, just turn your volume down for a minute or two.
Yeah, don't change the channel. We need the rating.
No, find some zen with silence, then turn us back up.
Oh, no.
This was tweeted in a lot to us, hashtag Animal Thunderdome. A camper was savagely attacked and eaten by a bear at a national park in Russia.
Jesus.
Tourist Yevgeny Starkov, 42 years old, was with a group starting to pack away their tents when the bear pounced. Yeah, here's the details, and this is three fellow campers. They watched in horror as their friend was torn and gnawed on by the drooling beast. That's exactly how they wrote this in the article.
They watched.
They had to watch from a tree because they climbed a tree.
Damn voyeurs.
Then they fled, walking 7 hours with no shoes to find help. Investigators couldn't reach the scene by helicopter because of bad weather in Yergaki Nature Park, which is in Siberia. On the internet, it's referred to as the Russian Yosemite. Anton Shelkinov, 42, one of the friends that was there, says, "We had begun to pack our backpacks. There were two tents, and I turned my head to the left to see a bear sticking out its head, a giant one, with saliva dripping from its mouth. He roared at us and then ran towards us. He and the other two friends got up this tree, and unfortunately, Starkov, a tourist from Moscow, was caught. I looked back. The bear was chasing us. We got to the tree, but unfortunately, our friend didn't make it. It was tearing his body apart, gnawing it. Then it got distracted, began to look at us, so we climbed higher."
Yeah, because it'll climb up there and get you. You can't just get in a tree and get away from a bear. They climb trees. That has to be one of the most horrific, mortifying experience to watch a friend go out that way.
Yeah.
Maybe. In my mind, like, you want to know, in my mind, I sat there and thought to myself, what horrible friends. Like, y'all escaped the bear. Y'all should have been trying to team up and try to distract the bear and get away. But the more I thought about it.
You're helpless.
The more I thought about it, I'm like, listen, thank you to you, my friend. Yeah. Thank you for saving the rest of us. Like,
we get to pretend like that guy never had a cheeseburger before? Come on.
In this moment, I got to think about not the life that was lost, but the lives that were saved.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean.
Is it too soon? Is it too soon?
It's just.
Is it too soon?
I'm mortified by the story. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's like. By the way, that bear may have only gotten that one guy. It got the rest of them, too. They'll never be the same.
No, they will never be the same.
Yeah.
So our next story is also an attack, but a better ending.
I'm glad you put the horrible one first. Like, let's have a positive outcome. He bit his leg off, but he lived.
Give us the broccoli first.
Still gory, but a better ending. At least she lived. A teenager vacationing in Mexico had a horrific encounter with a 12-foot crocodile in the water.
Wow!
And you think this is in Puerto Vallarta? You think about, you know, sharks maybe or the ocean. You don't think about crocodiles there, right? But it came out of the water and grabbed her, pulling her under. Kiana Hummel, 18, was there in PV with a friend earlier this month celebrating their last summer before going to college. She told ABC 7 News that they went out for a late-night swim at the Marriott Resort where they were staying. Just before midnight and before the girls were even in the water, the crocodile came up from the ocean, grabbed her right leg, and dragged her underwater. Some bystanders on the beach heard Hummel scream and ran to help. She repeatedly hit the crocodile as hard as she could in the face. It let her go. She had almost made it out of the water, but it then grabbed her by her left ankle and pulled her back in again. Hummel says, "I just remember saying, please don't leave me, and I don't think I was getting out that second time. That was really bad. The bystanders saved me." One of those was Sarah Laney of St. Louis. She was able to get the crocodile to let go of Hummel's leg as they pulled her back to shore. Hummel's mom, Ariana Martinez, she got on the first flight to Mexico from their home in San Francisco. She said, "I was on the phone with my daughter. She was yelling, get me an ambulance, get me an ambulance to the hospital. Took them forever, 45 minutes it took for the ambulance to arrive. And then the hospital demanded thousands of dollars from Martinez before they would provide any treatment for her daughter."
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, we got to get a buck.
So what were
the
injuries?
Hummel had muscle and tissue damage in both legs that required surgery. She currently is unable to walk. According to ABC 7, the hotel resort gave a statement that said they can confirm that appropriate signage as well as night patrolling and red flags were and are properly in place.
Wow.
But upon investigation, it's clear that the only sign they have is almost entirely in Spanish and is not lit up at night.
All right.
So translation, she's about to get paid.
Yeah, well, okay. Here's the thing, though.
What are you going swimming at midnight for?
Okay, that's the point. Like, they tell you, even in well-lit areas in Mexico, be careful at night. That is like, they tell you that. I was in Cancun, and they were driving through the streets in tanks just in case somebody was going to pull up on a tourist. Like, it's a problem. And that's in well-lit areas.
Be clear.
What the hell are you doing going into the ocean?
Be clear. Smaller fish always congregate in the shallows. at night.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the super big fish are trying to eat them.
Come on.
Go in at midnight.
At some point. Like, you know, hey, you know, should I pour Tabasco in my eyes? Probably not. Well, what's the worst going to happen? I don't know. You could turn into a cyclops. I don't know. Like, you want to take the chance? What are we doing here? Come on.
A GoFundMe page has been created to help with Hummel's expenses, and it's being reported that she's going to have to undergo a second surgery later this week, but it is expected that she'll make a full recovery after the second surgery.
Yeah, Hummel, see the first story on this edition of Animal Thunderdome. Consider yourself fortunate.
Indeed.
You know. God, man.
Jeez, that's rough. Crocodile, huh? You know they lunge. They're lungers. Yeah. They don't run. They lunge.
By the way, you remember that game Crocodile Mile? You remember that slip and slide game? You put it on the lawn. It was called Crocodile Mile. You guys remember that?
I remember slip and slide.
Yeah,
but we did the ghetto slip and slide. We used to get
garbage bags.
Yeah. Garbage bags and you get a sprinkler.
Yeah.
And you let the sprinkler go. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But it isn't the same thing, because when you see a real slip and slide, you feel like inadequate and like you're poor.
We didn't use garbage bags, but that's all. Just slide on the grass, be a man.
Yeah.
Oh, my grandma used to say, "You're not putting that on my grass." And we looked around like, "Grandma, your grass is already messed up."
Exactly.
And yellow.
And the problem is, you know, there's little pebbles underneath there, and
ooh,
so it's like, you know, it's like when you put it on a pebble and you slide across, and next thing you know, you hit your elbow on there. It's like AstroTurf. You know,
yeah,
it's rough.
That's no
man.
Good.
All right, it is Outkick the Coverage Crocodile here on Fox Mile. Sports Radio. Coming up next, a quarterback you can rally around this upcoming season. It's yours right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
We're going to have a segment on that.
No, we ain't. It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio.
About
he's
what?
LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox.
We'll tell you later.
You know, just, you know.
You know, just things that you just, you know, randomly just discuss.
Yeah. Just, you know, performance enhancers, you know, and the side effects of performance enhancers. We'll just put it that way.
Nice smoke screen.
We will get to coming up in about 10 minutes from now here on FSR. We are going to get to another edition of Scraps. Things in the world of sports we have not had a chance to get to. So we will have that for you here coming up 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. I just want to throw this at you because I've been thinking about this. The NBA draft was last night, and you know, obviously a great day for a lot of those kids that are coming up, being able to get to the NFL or get to the NBA, to be able to now try and, you know, accomplish their dreams, set themselves and their families up for life, all of that. And so when you see, you know, Cade Cunningham goes number one overall to the Detroit Pistons, and you see like all of these players that could be future stars of the league, you know, Suggs, who had a great tournament, you know, he goes in the top five to Orlando. Like you see all of the Mobley from USC out here. He's a guy that we've heard a lot about. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, listen, I prefer Catino Mobley. That's my guy. But you know, if you want to mix in
cool
Mobley, that's fine. I love Catino. Yeah, absolutely
cool
love him. I think the problem with the NBA draft, and it's not every year because the Zion year was different because there was such a buzz around him. The problem with the NBA draft is I think it falls victim to NBA free agency or some of the NBA offseason moves. Because the story yesterday was the Russell Westbrook trade to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of buried the discussion surrounding the draft. And these are the future of the NBA, potentially. We're looking at future Hall of Famers, future All-Stars, like some of the faces of the league in years to come. And yet, because of free agency and all the movement and all the acquisitions and the trades, I feel like it buries the draft. And the closest comparison I would give to it is one of the fallbacks from the college football playoff, the four-team college football playoff, is that during the course of the season, the big discussion we have when we hit October, when all of a sudden the playoff committee gets together and they have that show every Tuesday, is, all right, who's in the top four? Who's going to be the top four? Which team is being left out at five? Which team is on the outside looking in at six? And I've felt over the past few years, the Heisman Trophy doesn't get as much buzz or coverage as it used to.
Hmm.
And I think part of that is because the discussion is so much on the college football playoff and the debate surrounding the playoff that we don't talk about the Heisman Trophy as much. And I've talked to two different Heisman voters about this. And I was like, hey, you're a Heisman voter. Like, don't you feel like, and they are people that work here at Fox Sports Radio. And I'll say, don't you feel like the buzz surrounding the award isn't as much as it used to? They're like, no, you're spot on. And I'm like, and I don't know if I'm right that it's just the college football playoff, but I feel the same way about the NBA draft. The NBA draft used to be huge.
See, I never looked at the NBA draft as being super
big. I always thought it was a big deal, but it feels like lately the NBA offseason, free agency, and trades are that much more important to the landscape of the league than the draft is.
And listen, I'm a avid sports fan. I'm a fan first, actually, before I'm a former player.
Still root for the Steelers. Of course you are.
I'm a fan first. And I never thought that the NBA draft was a super, super big spectacle. Like, nowhere near close as the NFL's. And that's not me being, you know,
that's
I played
fact.
In the NFL. It just is what it is, right? Then you also think about the Heisman. I think you're right. It has lost a little bit of the luster connected to it. Like, when I was in school, I was in college, and I can remember places and times when people were announced as the winner.
100%.
Like,
totally
I was at Slippery Rock College in a dorm watching the I had to find a TV to see Peyton Manning win the Heisman Trophy, and Charles Woodson won.
Yeah.
And I can remember running and screaming that Charles Woodson had won the Heisman Trophy. Now, here's what's interesting about that. I played in a game in reserve duty that year against Charles Woodson. Like, not against him, but – and I was a nobody in a sense. But I was at a game – the year I was a part of a game as a Penn Stater, the year he won the Heisman. And it's like you start thinking about guys who won the Heisman, like when Ricky Williams got it, or when Ron Dane got it my last year in school. It's like you feel a certain type of something. Because first off, I wanted to be the second defensive player ever to win the Heisman Trophy.
Wasn't Warren Sapp, was he a finalist?
Adamekin Sue was. Adamekin Sue was a finalist.
Okay,
and so was Tyrann Mathieu.
Okay.
They were invited. I wanted to be invited. I wanted to be that. And I don't want to get into the reasons why it didn't work out that way. But man, the Heisman has always represented like hallowed ground. And I don't know that it feels – it doesn't hit exactly the same way as of late.
I've felt the same – and I just
– as of late.
And my only – the only conclusion I can come up with is that because the Heisman is singular and because it represents, you know, one school that's winning that Heisman – the college football playoff impacts everything. I mean, there's literally an entire show built around the college football playoff reveal every single week. And it's one of the great gifts to sports talk radio, because Wednesday during the football season is one of the slow days, according to a lot of people in sports radio. But at least you've got the college football playoff selection show to recap who got screwed, did they get it right, et cetera, et cetera. Perfect example. Remember when Manziel won the Heisman? Freshman won the Heisman. Johnny Manziel was unbelievable that year. Dude, you know that was almost 10 years ago?
It's crazy.
It's crazy. But I just feel like it just sort of bleeds one into the next now. Like there's no real – like you can remember, like you said, where you were when certain guys won the Heisman. You can remember that moment. Like, oh, man,
When Charlie Ward won the Heisman, man.
This is one of the most surprising reveals on the air. I remember we were in South Carolina. We were doing – and obviously college football season is huge, big deal out there. Remember, we were doing the morning show in Charleston, South Carolina. We were talking about the Heisman Trophy, And one of the most shocking reveals was when Mark Ingram won the Heisman. He was the first Alabama player to ever win the Heisman.
And that I remember, is shocking.
And we looked around at each other saying, wait, what? Like, no Alabama player, like, no, not Joe Namath, no Bama player ever had won the Heisman before, and it was the truth. And I remember that was a big deal because it was Alabama's first. And it's like, you know, you almost have to do a double take to go, oh, it was Devontae Smith who won it last year. He went to Alabama. Like, I look at the NBA draft maybe similar to where it's sort of been eaten by its own because of all the conversation surrounding free agency and some of the other transactions in the league.
You know, and they trade guys so quickly in the draft.
Yes.
Like, oh, we're going to take your rights. We're going to trade this guy. We're going to send him there. He's going to come here.
Man.
He's going right. It's like. Like, just draft them.
Yes.
Y'all switching hats. He just went to the Timberwolves. Like, he's going to go over here to the Pistons. The Nets are
They're picking for this team. I think it was last night. It was, I forget who it was. Was Portland was making the pick, but it was Memphis on the. It was some weird concoction like that. I just thought to myself, man, this is all too confusing. Can you guys just figure this out after the fact? But
just draft them.
Yeah.
Like, we lose our minds with the NFL draft to something like, oh, The San Diego Chargers take Eli Manning. Woo! The New York Giants take Phillip Rivers. I will not play for the San Diego Chargers. Wait, what? Huh? Wait. They're switching. They're trading. Huh? What? What do you mean they're trading? It's like a coup.
That's every three picks in the NBA. It's like that.
Yeah, it's like every other one.
Yeah,
man.
It's crazy.
Yeah. We freak out when it happens in the NFL.
Yeah, it's a whole different world in the
NBA. You should freak out.
Yeah.
You should protect the sanctity of this is the accomplishment that these young men have been working for. And if you're going to draft them, draft them.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not, then figure out a way to get what you want and how you want it. Without it being like, okay, we took you, but now you're going here. Oh, we took you too, but now you're going there. Okay, we took. Well, it's a four-team trade, so don't worry about it. You'll be all right. You're going to land somewhere.
Yeah, it's
like dang.
The whole thing is just very bizarre.
Yeah,
it is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is FSR. Coming up next, we are going to have the scraps, things in the world of sports we've not had a chance to get to. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, a man we wouldn't trade for anybody. Eddie Garcia.
Oh, look at you.
How about that?
Eddie G.
So sweet. NBA news. The LA Lakers reportedly acquiring former league MVP Russell Westbrook and a couple of second-round draft picks from the Washington Wizards for Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and the 22nd pick in the NBA draft, which was Isaiah Jackson from Kentucky. Speaking of the NBA draft, the Detroit Pistons, as expected, selected Oklahoma State star Cade Cunningham with the number one overall pick. The Rockets took Jalen Green from the G League at number two, Evan Mobley from USC. Went 3 to the Cavaliers. In baseball games of note, the Giants shut out the Dodgers 5-0. San Francisco took 2 of 3 in the series and moves back on top of LA by 3 games in the NL West. But the Dodgers made the big news off the field, getting all-star pitcher Max Scherzer and all-star shortstop Trey Turner from the Washington Nationals before today's trade deadline. Rays all over the Yankees 14-0. Tampa Bay moves a game and a half back of Boston in the AL East, but the Yankees stole the headlines by getting first baseman Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs. Blue Jays beat up on the Red Sox 13-1. Boston, though, getting slugger Kyle Schwarber from the Nationals. Mets fall to the Braves 6-3. New York's lead in the NL East is at 3.5 games on Philadelphia. Phillies split a doubleheader with the Nationals in Game 1. They lost it 3-1 with Max Scherzer winning his final start for the Nationals. And in the second game, Phillies beat the Nationals 11-8. They were down 7-0. They come all the way back. Brad Miller wins it for Philadelphia with a walk-off grand slam. At the Olympics, we've got women's soccer action going on right now. The U.S. and the Netherlands are tied at 2. That is late in the second half. Earlier, it was the U.S. women's basketball team beating Japan 86-69 to extend their Olympic winning streak to 51 in a row. And if you're a tennis fan, you might be interested in this. Novak Djokovic, who has won 3 of the 4 majors so far this year, Australian Open, the French Open, and Wimbledon, lost in the Olympics in his semifinal match in 3 sets to Alexander Zverev of Germany.
Wow.
And now back to Jonas Knox and LeVar Arrington in the Outkick the Cover studios.
That was my my pick last week was Alexander Zverev, Eddie. I don't know if you knew that or not.
What's his name?
Look, I know what it is. I just want to see if you knew what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've been saying it right either. Yeah. Just act like you know what you're saying, and right? Confidence?
That is true. By the way, we were talking about the R's and W's that we struggle with. Is there a name or something that you struggle with, Eddie? That you?
I'm perfect with all the names.
Okay. No, yeah, of course.
Like,
you know,
I'm a big hockey fan, Jonas.
Yes.
The names of the guys from Finland always throw me for a bit of a loop.
Why?
I don't know.
What is it?
I don't know.
I feel the same way about the Green Bay Packers GM's last name.
Give me an example, Eddie. Like, what's a name you can think of that for whatever reason you struggle with?
I mean, pretty much all of them.
Like, who's it?
There's always like a Hakkinen or something like that, or
Niskanen.
Niskanen, Hakkinen. Yeah. There's a lot of Nins in there.
Yeah,
Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah,
yes, Roberto, that's right. Old Brian Haagen-Dazs. He's a tough name to say.
Gunskluth.
Yeah, Gudekunst.
Gudekunst.
What is he? Is he is it German nationality?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't know how any of that stuff works. I'm all very confused. Like, I still don't know what the last name Knox is. Like, because I try and ask my dad. I said, hey, so what are we? And I just got a different story every time. And I just thought, I'm done with this. Like, I remember one time he was like, oh, I think we're 1/5 Blackfoot Indian. I was like, all right, Dad. What are we? Like, can I get an
answer
here?
I'm a Blackfoot Indian,
yeah,
too.
I was like, there he is. There he is.
That foot is black.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I told you. I said it.
Yeah. That is, but he can't get the drop. Come on, Roberto. Like, he can't get the drop.
Racist.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Racist.
Welcome to the club.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You've been knighted here by Roberto on
All
Fox
right.
Sports Radio.
Okay.
It's Outkick the Coverage here on FSR. LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox here on Fox Sports Radio. We are going to get to the scraps here coming up, but we'll do that in about 10 minutes from now. Full time to make sure we pay our respects to things we've not had a chance to get to. I did want to mention this, and this isn't a guy who had a great career or anything like that, but I do think the detail on the injuries is pretty wild, man. So Jake Butt, who was a tight end for Michigan, and he got hurt in a bowl game. He decided to retire from the NFL yesterday. He decided that was it. He had signed a deal with Chicago about a month ago and then just decided he was going to step away from the game. And so listen to this just list of injuries that he suffered. And I think people, and you can speak on this better after you go through all this, but he tore his ACL during spring drills his sophomore year at Michigan. Then he tore the other ACL, his final game at Michigan, which is a bowl game that Michigan was playing in. The Broncos drafted him in the 5th round. He missed his rookie year, then tore his ACL again in September of 2018. He's continued to deal with the knee issues, played 5 games in 2019 or last season, and then went on injured reserve because he had a hamstring injury. So he underwent 6 knee surgeries, and all of this over the last, 4 years? Mm. And I said it earlier, I always respected Sam Bradford because he made so much money. It's because he was one of those guys that got that $50 million rookie contract, number one pick as a quarterback, one of the old deals. I think Matt Stafford might have been the last one, or Bradford was the last one. But he had, there was no financial reason for him to want to come back. And he kept rehabbing and kept rehabbing and kept coming back. To see a guy like this rehab that many times, and then he ultimately said in his statement when he retired, he just sort of lost the passion. Like the grind to get back to being healthy.
You think?
Yeah, it just took it all away from him, man. And I just think there's so many of those stories here that sort of people dismiss and go, but he was a bust. It's like, man, that's a rough go for that many years in the NFL to see your dreams go up in flames like that.
Well, but you fulfilled your dream. And that should be celebrated and it should be respected for the value that brings to the table. Sure, you may have not achieved what you wanted. I didn't achieve what I wanted to achieve at one level. Every level I was at, other than the pros, I achieved at the level that I wanted to. Felt comfortable and confident moving on to the next level. Didn't feel that way about the pros, but one thing about injuries it will take your desire away to want to compete, because the amount of time, the amount of pain, everything that goes into what you deal with when you're fighting through the mental and emotional aspects of recovery and rehabbing, it's just intense. And then you got to work through the trusting. You have to trust yourself once you've gotten back out there and gone through that whole process of rehabilitating yourself. And then you got to hope that in trusting yourself, it doesn't lead to you hurting yourself again.
Yeah.
And then when it does, you can't even imagine the amount of anxiety that you have in terms of having to deal with the pain and the process all over again. And then you do it again? It's enough for anyone to lose their desire to want to compete. And it really is, again, as we come, you know, off of the heels of what happened with Simone Biles and all of the different opinions and assumptions and assessments to what they believe it is, you know, you got to take into consideration the mental health rehabilitation process. I always tell people, if you rehab physically but you never rehab mentally, you're still injured, and you've actually left the most important aspect of your rehab you've left it uncorrected and unaddressed. So that will always be a conversation that needs to take place, especially in situations where multiple injuries have taken place, multiple major injuries and surgeries have taken place.
It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington here on FSR. Coming up next, the scraps, things in the world of sports we've not had a chance to get to. They're yours right here on FSR.